giving the picture. You see, there's Dale.
Samaria and to the ends of the earth. be seated. Let's pray together. Lord God, you were present in creation. You brought order out of chaos. You gave life to all things and sustained them all through your Spirit. Your Spirit was present at the baptism of Christ and through his life and ministry. It came in power to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. It comes to the servants of Jesus Christ at all times. We thank you, God, that your Spirit is present with us now, helping to bring us to faith, to fill us with love, to unite us in fellowship within your church. Spirit of God, Lord and giver of life, we give praise and glory, honor, now and forever. Amen. Let's share together the Lord's Prayer as we say it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's hear some news about fellowship.
Good morning, everyone. It's very nice to see that you've made it to join us despite the weather on the outside. And I would like to extend a warm welcome to anyone who's worshipping with us for the first time today. And also a very warm welcome to Harold Liberty, who has kindly agreed to lead our worship this week. Nice to have you back with us, Harold. Thank you. And for the greetings from the various churches. I hope everyone has received a newsletter this week, either as you came in or on email. The key dates are in the newsletter, but there's one or two things to draw to your attention. Colin, our own minister, is back in harness tomorrow, so if you're needing the services of the minister before that, Judy Seth, who's with us this morning, is able to help. The first Sunday in the month being today, and I can't believe it's June already, the church has taken a stall at the craft fair this afternoon in the Old Town Hall, or near the Old Town Hall. Our stall is actually in the St Mary's Church Hall, as part of our fundraising for our various building projects. So if you are able to pay a visit, that would be nice. And I also should draw your attention to the Armed Forces Day, where we'll have a stall on the 25th of June in Gadebridge Park. Just a small reminder to say if anyone can help set up, man the stall or clear up on the day, because it's between, or the fair is open from 12 till 6, we'll need to set up between 10 and then clear up afterwards. Please see Colin, our minister, or Charlene afterwards. And the usual plea for anyone who fancies doing a little bit of baking or making those nice homemade confections that we hope to sell at that time. A reminder to the deacons that we meet at 8 o'clock on Tuesday of this week in the Memorial Hall, and the prayers of the congregation for discernment would be much appreciated. And anybody who can help or would like to attend the Churches Together in Hemel Hempstead, their AGM is being hosted by us in the Memorial Hall on the 8th of June this week. If anyone can help with set up, serving tea or clearing up, we would like to meet at 6:30 here, but contact Colin tomorrow, please, so that he knows we've got sufficient. I'd like to draw attention to the membership classes. They don't run very often, but Colin's going to run those over the summer, as Rosemary would like to join us in membership. And if anyone else would like to join those classes, please contact Colin. There is no commitment required to say that you'll join the church afterwards, but it might be an interesting time to find out a bit more about us. And by last but by no means least, if you have signed up for the day retreat at Stanton House, Your deposit is now due. See Hilary afterwards. Back to you, Hilary. Thank you.
Thank you. We bring now offerings for the work of the fellowship. We will dedicate those here. We know that numbers come automatically online. Those who wish to contribute to offering now, this is the opportunity. And after this, when we've received that, we will sing our next hymn.
In you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. We're made of clay, but his treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into our opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise.
Well,
Okay, we have one activity to do before youngsters. I think we'll have some separate time. And if they can work in and join in with this, that'll be splendid. And I'll try and think of something that those of you who are online can occupy your minds with while we're doing this, because I will disappear temporarily off camera for a few seconds, because I'm going to ask you if you can possibly shuffle slightly to form five groups. And I've got a job for those groups to do. In each of these envelopes, I have a set of greetings. And I have also the names of the countries to whom those greetings belong, at least according to Google. And if Google's got it wrong, blame them, not me. But your job in your group is to have a look at the five greetings and to decide which ones go with which country. Talk about it amongst yourselves and agree what your voting order is, which name goes with which greeting, and practice them, because I should be asking you to say them in 2 or 3 minutes. So if you are feeling a bit isolated, I suggest you sort of gather. We've got a group at the back there, at the back on my left, your right, clearly. We've got sort of a group at the back in half there. We've clearly got a group there, and we've got one there. And possibly I've got five, so if you can sort of gather a little bit into five separate areas, and let's see what happens. So if we make a nucleus here, we've got a five there, we've got a group here, we've got a group here. And over on this side of the church, we can have two groups. So if you can sort of make a group around here, somebody will look after that. And we've got a group here. So if you open your envelopes and look at the greetings and the country names. Down a bit. Okay. And for those of you at home, you've got the opportunity to think, how many countries use the word hello as their greeting? Can you think of any countries that use the word hello as their greeting? Think about that. Everybody, you have about 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Welcome. Good to see you. If you'd like to join one or other of the groups, possibly that one's convenient. They've got a job to do choosing languages and countries and working out which goes with which. So feel free to join one of the groups. Those of you at home, you've got about 1 more minute. You can't communicate directly with us, I suppose. But what you can do is show us how many countries you think you can think of. When time comes, you can indicate sort of how many you think you can work out would use the word hello as a greeting. And no cheating. I don't want to see anybody on Google search. 1 more minute. Another 1/2 minute. Looks as if most of you've got there. Okay, ladies, gentlemen, young ladies, young gentlemen, let's see what you've come up with. This roving things a bit awkward when you're meant to be on camera. But forgive me if you can't see everything, those of you at home. But hopefully you'll be able to hear. We're going to go to group one and hear what your verdict is, which is the group over here. So let's see what the results are. What do you think over here? Okay.
Okay, so for Ola, we think it's Portuguese. Hello is Afrikaans. Konnichiwa, Japanese. Meredita is Albanian. And hello is Iceland.
Thank you. And group one has got 5 out of 5. Applause. Right, let's hear group two.
Barev Dezes, Armenian. Armenian.
Okay, go on.
Hello, hello, Indonesian. Talofa, Samara. Bunal Zero, Romanian, and hello, hello, Hungary.
Okay.
Hungary.
I think you've got about 3 there. Barev Dzez is Armenian.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello is Hungarian.
Oh.
Yeah, Talofa is Samoan.
Yeah.
Bunal Zero is Romanian.
Yeah.
And hello, Indonesian.
We have them the other way around.
So you were close. Right, group three. Who's your spokesperson?
Are you leaving me with this? Ayubuan, we think, is Tamil. Habari, Swahili. Hello, with the omelette, is Swedish. Vanakum, Sinat. Sinhala, and hello, Luxembourgish.
And you have got also 3 out of 5. Ayubuan is Sinhala, Sri Lankan, and Vanakkum is Tamil. You got the other 3 right. So again, just 1 pair swapped over. Let's go to group 4. There are 10,000 steps around here. Around the church. Who's going to be your spokesperson here?
It's Zadravo or something. Is that Serbian? And then Merhaba Turkish. Çareta, that comes Greek. Hola, Catalan. And hello, Javanese.
And you have scored 5 out of 5. Give them Let's hear group 5. Who's your spokesperson?
Okay, I'll go. We're just guessing, yeah. We've got Bongu, which is Maltese. Then Hello, Hungarian. Salve, Italian. Namaste, Indian. And Hello, or Halo, Indonesian. Just guessing.
Okay, I think you have 3 out of 5 there. Bongu is Maltese, Hello is Norwegian, Salve Latin, Namaste Hindi, and Hello Javanese.
Latin isn't it live,
No.
I mean,
I'll give you 3 out of 5 there. Well, I'll ask the Catholics. So. Not bad. We've got some linguists around in the church. So now the final thing to do, of course, from where you are, is to greet one another in your chosen languages. So I want to hear for 10 seconds all of those phrases that you've just been looking at. Look to one another and call them out to one another. Go! Not just in your group, but to the other groups as well. Turn yourselves around and call them to everyone. Barazez, Buona Ziwa, Vanakum, Hello, Zdravo. Hayavete. Konnichiwa. I like that. Good on you. Good on you. Those of you at home, we can see some of you on the screen. How many languages did you guess that might be using the term hello as their greeting? So I can see 10 in one, at least 10 being suggested there. We've got 10 plus one or two others in one of the other screens. Looking good. It's surprising how many places you can go and say hello and they know what you mean. It's good. Yeah, greeting one another. Why have we done this, of course? It's Pentecost Day, and as we'll read very shortly, people were being spoken to in all sorts of tongues and languages. And it bewildered them, but it was quite an experience. Hello, universally recognized. Can we make another word universally recognized? The name of Jesus. Can that be as widespread as the greeting of hello? That's our aim, that's our ambition. It's what Christ promised there. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. Let's keep that idea in our minds. As youngsters, if they're going to go to a separate area, they have their chance to go to and go there now, and then we will have our first reading from God's word. There they go. Miru pavshim. That's cheerio in Albanian. Good. Now Obed is going to give us a reading from the Acts of the Apostles.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is taken from Book of Acts, chapter 2. And we're going to be reading the first four verses, and then we move on to verse 14, and we end at verse 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. And now verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men and will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.
Thank you, Obed. God sending his power, his Holy Spirit to his people. And we sing of this now in our next song. For I'm building a people of power.
For I'm building a people of power. And I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my spirit and will glorify my precious name.
Build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. For I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my Spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord, make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Please be seated. Let's pray together. The world has so many things that are problems that we would bring before God. He knows them all before we speak them. But let's focus on one or two particular things. And let's, at this time, at this particular season, let us pray for Her Majesty. We give thanks for the service that she has given. We remember that she is mortal and ordinary like us, that she has a family and has gone through so many crises, problems with her children, so familiar a story to many of us. How can we manage? How can we cope with our families? And yet she has continued to serve her people and her faith in God. And so we pray for the Queen at this time, a time of celebration for all that has been achieved. And we pray too for her family, for those who are heirs prospectively to the throne, for the responsibilities that they have and will have as they carry out royal duties. We pray too for those for whom royal life seems to have been too much and has led them down paths that we would dread to follow ourselves. We pray too for them. We pray that the opportunities taken at this time to remember the Queen's work may be significant for many in the country as they look to the future and they look to responsibility of leadership. And so we pray too for those in government, national, regional, and local. May they learn from the example of the Queen what it is to serve, being given authority, but not to be exploited for one's own good, but to be used for the benefit of the community at large. Let's pray at this time for the needs of BMS World Mission as they look to develop their work in times of hardship, difficulty and constraint. We pray for them as they seek to develop projects in Afghanistan with all the strife, post-war and occupation there. As they seek to do new work in the Middle East, bringing scholarships and opportunities for education, as well as the training of new pastors. We pray for their medical work that they want to try to expand in Uganda, Mozambique, and Guinea. We pray for their work for refugees in the island places of the Mediterranean, such as Lesbos, and countries like Lebanon that can scarcely afford to feed their own people, never mind the influx of others. And we pray for their work in the countries surrounding Ukraine, where they seek to bring help for millions of extra refugees. We pray particularly that funding and resources will be available
to BMS World Mission in all of these projects to meet all of these needs. We pray for those who manage these monies and resources that they will do so wisely and find people willing to contribute and support. Let's pray too for those who are suffering from recent natural disasters. We pray for those in Kenya where food shortages are increasing because of poor harvest and drought conditions. And we pray for those in Bangladesh and parts of India where the opposite problem, flooding and excess rain, are causing issues with food supply, being able to work, with loss of land, loss of livelihoods. We pray for those who govern in those countries and for countries that have plenty, that they will be generous in their support to these and to others as needs arise. We pray too closer home for this fellowship, for all those that are in need. We would remember and name Brian, Pat and Norman, Anne and Tony and their family, Pauline, Tamsin, Eric, Tim and family, Ray and Mark, Andrew and Paul, Norma and the family. We pray too for Colin as he returns to the helm and has his work to do, that his ministry will be blessed. And we pray for your spirit to come once more, to come afresh, renewed upon each one of this fellowship, that we may be sent out in the name of Christ to whichever our mission field may be. Help us to be open to your beckoning, Lord. At this time, open us to your spirit within the hearts and minds of each one of us, that we may know your will and proclaim your word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing together once more of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind.
Of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove. Give us your joy and give us your peace. Show us the Savior's love. You spoke to us long, long ago, gave us the written word. We read it still, saying its truth, though God's voice is heard. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove. Give us your joy and give us your peace. Show us the Savior's love. Without your help, we fail, O Lord. He cannot live his way. We need your power. We need your strength. Following Christ each day. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind, gentle as is the dove. Give us your joy and give us your peace. show us the Savior's love.
Let's have now our second reading from God's Word, from the prophecy of Joel.
Reading is from the second chapter of Joel, starting at the 12th verse. You'll find it on page 913 of the Church Bible. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern horde far from you, pushing it into a parched and barren land. Its eastern ranks will drown in the Dead Sea, and its western ranks in the Mediterranean Sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. And afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Thanks be to God.
In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, which is a really recommendable book to read and study in terms of Christian life and Christian living, John Ortberg contrasts two characters. One is Popeye. And the other, and it dates me terribly, is the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I can see one or two faces grinning of a certain age around the place. Popeye is the guy whose one of whose catchphrases is, "I am what I am." He's the sailor man, he loves olive oil, he faces up to Pluto, and he's a simple guy. When things aren't going wrong, his phrase is, "I am what I am." And that's me, that's him. By contrast, the Power Rangers are young characters who have the ability to transform into something else, something very different, to go out and rescue a situation. Which are we? Which were the disciples in the days of Acts chapter 2? Something strange has happened. They're out in the street talking in many languages, much as you were about half an hour ago. Peter's bold exposition in Acts chapter 2, his first sermon ever, answers the bewilderment of the crowds who've gathered on that first Pentecost morning. And what he says in it, and particularly his references here to the prophecies of Joel, enormously significant in terms of understanding what was going on that Pentecost day. The scholars have looked at this and looked at it in detail because it and some of the other sermons in the early chapters of Acts constitute the first exposition, apart from certain references in the letters of Paul that are rather less systematically ordered. First exposition, what is termed the kerygma, the proclamation of the early church. And this has been examined by large numbers of scholars, particularly C.H. Dodd in the 20th century. What was the message? What was the proclamation in those first years of the existence of the church? The scholars have analyzed the sermon speeches that are there in the book of Acts as Luke has recorded them. And they can trace development of the message of the early church. But the main themes are here in the Acts chapter 2 sermon. And they are these. The age of fulfillment has dawned, the latter days foretold by the prophet. Second, it's taken place through the birth and life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then, through the resurrection, Jesus has been exalted and is at the right hand of God, the head of the new Israel. Fourth, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is in the church, the sign of Christ's present power and glory. Fifth, the messianic age is going to reach its consummation on the return of Christ. He's coming back, Maranatha. And finally, an appeal is made for repentance, the offer of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, and ultimately salvation. And those are the key themes that seem to have been part of the early church's proclamation. Now, by using Joel in detail, Peter is doing a number of things in this sermon. And one of the first things he's showing us, he's not simply an illiterate fisherman. You think Peter and his brother Andrew, they've come from Galilee. Where'd they get their scholarship from? Did they attend London Bible College or Spurgeon's? Where do they get their knowledge from? Peter knows his prophets. He's using the Joel passage, but he modifies it slightly. He modifies the very opening. In Joel itself, he speaks of after this time in verse 28 of Joel chapter 2. But Peter modifies it to in these last days. In these last days. For the Joel passage is implying that the Spirit's outpouring is a sign of the ending of an age. An age where God has restored the prosperity and security of his people who've suffered long because of their turning away and the consequent falling into the hands of other powers. God has restored the people's prosperity, and now comes the day of the Lord, the ending of that age. By the slight alteration Peter makes, he's saying that these last days are now at hand. The kingdom of God, the day of the Lord, is at hand. And the events being witnessed, Christ's resurrection, the coming of the Spirit, are proof of this. He also, and importantly, links the final points of the kerygma about repentance. He's linking that to the context of the Joel passage. Look at verses 12 and 17 in chapter 2. It's the turning back of the people to God that's been emphasized as the first stage of the process. And if you go through Joel chapter 2, you see the succession. Repentance, turn back. God's deliverance, restoration of prosperity, and then the outpouring of the Spirit and the coming of the day of the Lord. And in verses 12 and 13, that term return to God, is the same root word as the word repent. The same root as repent. In Greek, metanoia, turning your mind back, turning back to God. So in using Joel, Peter here on Pentecost Day is underlining that need for repentance, which he stresses again near the end of the speech. Friends, brethren, what do we do? The crowd asked. And he says, repent, turn back. For his hearers, that must be the first response. And it's not a simple, I'm sorry. It's got to be, as Peter stresses, the need for repentance of the heart. Not just a superficial confession. Joel speaks not simply of rending the garments, which is an outer sign of repentance, but rending the heart. The reference also links to the early proclamations, if you think about it, of the kingdom in the gospel. John the Baptist, Jesus himself. What do they come proclaiming? Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. The first move of the hearers of the proclamation must be repent. It's a sign of things that's often overlooked when we celebrate Pentecost. But it's clearly at the heart of the message of proclamation of Pentecost. The Joel passage reminds people also, by using it here, Peter reminds people that God has already been acting for them. Look at verse 20, the northern hordes seem to be a similar reference to verse 25. Natural disaster, locusts creating havoc, famine, need. Probably that rather than hostile nations such as the Assyrians. God has driven them out and brought back prosperity, food supply, improvements. Maybe in our current time there should be more thought about this dimension as we look around our world and its bewildering situation. And then there is the coming of the Spirit. And Peter's understanding of the Spirit will be affected by the qualities of it which we can see in the Old Testament. The Spirit is creative. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. It is the Spirit moving on the face of the waters. Through God's Spirit, life, creation. It sustains life. Look at Psalm 104 and the references to it there. It enables people to do extraordinary things. It inspires prophecy. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 29. But unlike us, who tend to see Pentecost as the start of the new age, Peter is seeing it as an indication that not a start, but a culmination is coming. And certainly that's the implication of the chapter of Joel. The culmination of an age. And for us today too, perhaps, we should be seeing Pentecost as a more urgent matter than we sometimes do. We look back of it and we remember the Spirit coming a long time ago. And we think that was good. That was great. That's what we need. But we need to think more urgently. Why not link it more firmly to repentance now? What do we have personally, as a community, as a nation, to repent about? How can we turn our hearts back? A challenge for each of us individually, for fellowships communally, for nations. Then look at what God has done for us, as Joel does in verses 19 to 27. How has God helped and sustained our lives? Do we recognize what God has done for each one of us? Do we look to that when we think of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit? Does it remind us of all that God has been working on prior to that? Third, consider, if this is the outpouring of the Spirit as Joel describes, how close is the kingdom? How urgent is it to be acting now, not just sitting back? And then be aware of and looking out for, encouraging and practicing those gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our communities. As we sit solemnly, sometimes very quietly. As we get up and meet with people. How manifest are those gifts of the Spirit that we read so much of in the New Testament? Did we practice them? Did we exalt them? Did we rejoice in them as witnesses in themselves, those gifts of the power of the living Christ? And finally, as it says in verse 32, and as Peter reminds in his sermon, that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter highlights the radical nature of what God has done. Everyone who calls on the name will be saved, verse 21. Peter indicates that Jesus, the name of the one attested by God through signs and wonders, is responsible for the Holy Spirit, verses 22 and onwards. Peter indicates that Jesus is the Lord. He is the exalted one. He has the title. Salvation is given in the name of Jesus. In Peter's sermon in chapter 2, verse 37. And this is all confirmed by the Holy Spirit, given by Jesus, the risen Lord, available to all who call on the name of the Lord for salvation. Peter's sermon, harking back to Joel, says to us, Pentecost is not just to be looked back on, but to be seen as the culmination of a process to be followed by the day of the Lord for us. Let this day, let this Pentecost day re-energize us give us that sense of urgency for repentance, for turning to God, for recognizing Him, and for opening ourselves once more to the outpouring of His Spirit within each and every one of us, that we, like those disciples, may go out and proclaim the risen Lord, so that all who call upon His name might also be saved. And with that view of the last days from Joel and from Peter, we sing a final song that makes us turn our thoughts to those last days. Come and see the shining hope. Let's sing together of what this means.
Come and see the shining hope that Christ's apostles saw. On the earth confusion, but in heaven an open door, where the living creatures praise the Lamb forevermore. Love has the victory forever, and though He comes to bring His own reward, amen. Praise God for justice now restored. Kingdoms of the world become the kingdom of the Lord. Love has the victory forever. All the gifts you find us, Lord, are faithful, glad and true. Holiness and righteousness are shown in all you do. Who can see your greatest gift and fail to worship you? Love has the victory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God for justice now restored. And the world become the kingdom of the Lord. Love has the victory forever. Power and salvation all belong to God on high. So the mighty multitudes of heaven make their cry. Hallelujah, where the leaders never die. Love has the victory forever. Amen. He comes to bring His own reward. Amen. Praise God, to justice now restored. Kingdoms of the world become the kingdom of the Lord. Love has the victory forever.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip us with everything good, so that we may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen.